3. Telisberg Palace, City of Telisberg, Kingdom of Karis. In many ways, Seyfholdian music wasn't all that different from the music Nimmu Alban had known during her biological life. In other ways, it was weird. Yes, definitely weird, Merlin thought, standing his post yet again to watch over the king, no, dummy, he reminded himself yet again, the emperor and his wife. The familiar part included a whole host of stringed instruments from humanity's past. Guitars, violins, cellos, violas, even balalaikas, and, here in Karis at least, banjos. Personally, Merlin could have done without the banjos just fine. Most of the traditional brasses and wind instruments were still around as well, although a few new ones had been added. Or, Merlin suspected, perhaps it would be more accurate to say that some extremely old ones had been resurrected. After all, it was unlikely that the citizens of Seyfhold, in a mere 8.5 centuries, could have reproduced all of the musical variants humanity had managed on Terra in well over 50,000 years. One of the instruments Merlin wasn't familiar with was a brass, its tube so long the marching variants required a second musician to help carry it, but which was played using the same tongue and breath control as the old earth bugle. There was another one which looked something like a French horn crossed with a tuba. Then there were woodwinds, the piccolos, flutes, and fifes, not to mention the piano, the pipe organs of the various churches and cathedrals, and even harpsichords. Percussion instruments were well represented as well, with drums, cymbals, xylophones, especially in Chisholm, and everything in between. And then there were the bagpipes. Several versions of them, actually, from the multi-pipe version, with which Nimmu had been familiar, all the way up to a decidedly peculiar confection which combined the bag of the traditional bagpipes with something very like a trombone. But it wasn't so much the instruments themselves which struck Merlin as peculiar as it was the combinations of instruments Seyfholdians favored. For example, Nimmu Alban had never imagined a concerto written for guitar, banjo, fife, drums, and bagpipes. Merlin, unfortunately, no longer had to imagine it. There were a few other mixes and matches which occasionally made him wonder if some sort of bizarre genetic drift had affected Seyfholdian's hearing. It was the only answer he could come up with for the theoretically tuneful goulashes they'd come up with. Fortunately, the music favored for formal dances like the present one tended to be somewhat more restrained and usually based around combinations of instruments which didn't leave Merlin feeling as if his artificial hearing had been assaulted with a blunt musical instrument. In fact, the current music arising from the orchestra parked along one wall of Telisberg Palace's grand ballroom was almost soothing. It reminded Merlin somewhat of waltz music, although it also incorporated what Nimmu would have called a swing beat. Merlin was just as glad he wasn't out there dancing with the others. Nimmu had been an excellent dancer, and she'd always enjoyed the opportunity when it came her way. Merlin, on the other hand, had never been tutored in Seyfholdian dance techniques, which appeared to incorporate both waltz-like measures and something like a square dance on steroids, interspersed with the tango, and something which reminded him of what had once been called the Charleston. How flesh-and-blood dancers survived it in a climate like Telisberg's was one of those mysteries which defied rational explanation. Some of his fellow guardsmen sometimes resented, or perhaps regretted would be a better way to put it, the duty which kept them standing guard during festivities like tonight's. Merlin didn't. If pressed, He would have admitted that he hadn't realized, despite his experience as one of Crown Prince Caleb's personal bodyguards, that the King of Karas's personal armsman would spend such a huge chunk of his life simply standing around looking sufficiently menacing to deter any thought of assault upon the king's person. Caleb's transition from king to emperor hadn't done a thing to ease those particular requirements either.